It is nice to have your own little cheer section, you know, wherever you go. And I am, thanks so much, Eric, for the introduction. I am working with June Hunt at the Biblical Counseling Institutes each month and also teach full-time at Criswell College. You know, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing to think about. We were driving here and all of the memories, we're all talking about our memories, you know, and all the kids had their stories that they would remember, you know, with you guys and each of the class members and the food, you know, they remember that. And just a great blessing to be here. And I will introduce my family. If I can, I can get their names. I can't get their birthdays, most of them, but I can get their names. And I'll start, this is, y'all know Karen, right? And then Julia is there. Wave your hand, Julia. Julia, yeah, why don't you stand up, Julia? And Jordan, stand up. These are the twins, if you can believe it. Yeah. Then there's Daniel right there, the one waving. Abby. That's our second oldest daughter. And then we have our neighbor with us, Deborah. Why don't you wave, Deborah? All right. And then Josh is my oldest son. And then Anna. She was the one born in Prague. And as you know, we were talking about how that worked out. We're so thankful to be here. And it is rare that we're all together. Sarah, our oldest daughter, is not with us. She's at home. We had a real busy weekend. It was playoff weekend. We lost, so we're out. But made for a very busy weekend. Sarah's a varsity cheerleader. Josh is in the band. Abby's a trainer for the football team. So, I mean, we're really plugged into Rockwall Heath High School. And all of that came to an end, unfortunately, this weekend. But it's a very busy weekend. And, you know, we were thinking about how all of this came about. That was when we were driving from Rockwall. That was the question. How in the world did y'all become a part of the McLaughlin Bible class? And, you know, it's very rare when all of our family get together because, you know, the kids, they get older and then, believe it or not, they start taking on their own life, right? And then you have to pay them or bribe them somehow to be a part of the family. And so we're trying as much as possible to enjoy them while we can. And I've been thinking about Dr. Bryant. You know, driving here, there's no guarantees that we're all going to be together. And so we have to enjoy one another while we can and forgive and love one another while we can. And part of that price is you love people like Dr. Bryant and other people in our class that are waiting for us on the other side. You know, when we walked in here and we were enjoying being with everybody, that's heaven right there. That's a glimpse of heaven right there on earth. That's what heaven's going to be like. But there's going to be one major difference, and that's Christ is going to be right in the center as we spend an eternity with him. We are giving our whole life to Christ. We base our whole faith in Christ, knowing that one day he's going to return. We're going to be with him forever. It puts everything into perspective. It puts this life into perspective, knowing that our best days are yet to come. But anyway, I'm trying to answer a question. Don't you feel sorry for my students? I do have a question. How in the world did we get connected with McLaughlin Bible class? Well, Dr. Bryant is the one who brought me on staff at Criswell College. And he thought, wow, what a great idea as part of the interview process to have Steve come and teach my Sunday school class. Absolutely brilliant, isn't it? And I guess I taught a fairly decent lesson that day, you know, thank the Lord, and been on, you know, staff with Criswell College ever since. You know, we have a new president, Dr. Barry Kramer, and a new academic vice president with Dr. Joe Waddell. And I think, you know, there's some great days ahead. And I was visiting with Lynn and others about June and her biblical counseling institutes every month. Y'all know June, absolutely amazing person. I'm so privileged to be a part of these two great ministries. It's absolutely, I'm humbled to think about it. But just want to let you know and just tell you what a blessing this class has been to us personally. We love y'all. We will always remember y'all. It was great sharing First Baptist stories, First Baptist Dallas stories on the way here. And we're truly thankful to be here with y'all. Now, I talked with Eric, and Eric's a great guy. Isn't he doing a great job for the class? Don't y'all appreciate him? The leadership in the class is excellent. And he said, now, you know, look, come and share. You can share whatever you want to share, but we're in the Psalms. And, you know, so it's basically pick a psalm, any psalm. And that's what I'm going to do this morning for our lesson. And I'm choosing Psalm 34:1. That's going to be the heart of our lesson today. Psalm 34:1. And I'll probably say this psalm so many times that you'll have it memorized by the time we complete our lesson today. Here is the psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth or on my lips. How often will we bless the Lord? Sometimes? All the time. Are you praising God this morning? Is His praise on your lips this morning? Now, I've heard some challenges. We haven't been here long, but we had donuts with you guys and orange juice and coffee. And I love visiting with you because you're real. You say, this has been my struggle. This has been my challenge. I've had these health concerns, these financial concerns. Pray for me. I'm trusting God, but it's been difficult. It's been hard times. And then here you are, faithful and committed. You inspire us. The greatest blessing we have received from this class is we have been inspired by your faithfulness and commitment. No matter what, you praise God. No matter what, you trust Him. No matter what, you are here every time the doors open. You are here. I've heard some pretty scary stories from y'all this morning. There's been some tragic things happen. And you are here. And we are inspired. It's inspiring to be a part of this class. We are stronger together than we are alone. And when we are challenged and we come together, then we can praise God together, no matter what the circumstances. Psalm 34:1. It is the very heart of the scripture this morning. We will bless the Lord. We will praise Him. We will be thankful for His mercy and His goodness and His faithfulness and His presence, no matter what the circumstances. Isn't that right? Have y'all been through some tough times? Can y'all testify? Are y'all going to be the only amen group that we have in this class this morning? Man, y'all need to come every Sunday. In every situation of life, in every event that occurs, publicly and privately, in prosperity and in adversity, rich and poor, In safety and in danger, in joy and in sorrow, we will thank God and praise His name. This is the main idea of the psalm. Now, I'm not a great theologian or a brilliant academician. I usually don't say words that have more than two syllables. I'm pretty proud of myself right then. Like Dr. Bryant, like Christopher Graham, they are brilliant scholars. You know that? That's not me. I'm just me. That's what you got this morning. But this is what I'm thinking, and I may be wrong. That we are to praise God and trust God and be faithful to God in all circumstances. I don't know about for everything. I know in everything, but I don't really know about for everything. Are we to be thankful for everything? I don't know. Some situations are pretty difficult. We can be thankful in those circumstances. Because listen to this. When David wrote this psalm, this song, it's actually part of an acrostic. I love that. June, that's how June teaches. She's teaching something, she's using an acrostic. That's what King David is doing. He's using an acrostic to praise God in tough times. Do you know what's going on with David during this time? His finances were at their lowest point. Maybe you're struggling financially. Hey, look, what do you want from me, right? You just want me to be Steve. That's what I'm assuming, right? Or y'all wouldn't want me to be here. Look, we struggle month to month to make ends meet. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. Maybe you're struggling as well. That's where King David was at. He was running from King Saul, who wanted to kill him. Can you imagine? King of the land desiring to kill you? He hoped to find safe refuge. That didn't work out. So he's on the cusp, on the verge of becoming a fugitive, an outlaw, a dweller in dens and caves of the earth. He had very few friends at the time, very little support and encouragement. And in this circumstance, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise, his praise shall be continually on my lips. And we're reminded of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Do you know that scripture? That scripture states, in some things give thanks. Amen? Some things. Isn't that right? Some things. I crossed that out of my Bible. I crossed out all, and I crossed it out of my notes. I have it crossed out right here. If you want to come up and look at it, you can come up and look at it. You know, sometimes we read it as, in everything give thanks, but we obey it as, in some things give thanks. But the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in all things give thanks. And I like that word in all things give thanks. We can be thankful, not just on Thanksgiving, right? Not just on Thanksgiving, but every day in all things give thanks. Why? Because even on the most challenging days, we can be grateful for the fact that God is always with us. And we can be grateful for the fact that no matter how bad the circumstances, whether we believe it or not, God is working those circumstances for good. Right? Romans 8:28. Isn't that right? Romans 8:28. Now, John Piper, you're familiar with him. He's a prolific author. He's pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's also chancellor of Bethel College and Seminary. He states the following. He says this, if we saw the greatness of God, we would not be so greedy and covetous. If we saw the greatness of God, our eyes wouldn't be so prone to stray after lustful images and thoughts. If we saw the greatness of God, we wouldn't get so angry at our children so easily. If we saw the greatness of God, we wouldn't pout and get hurt so easily in our marriages. If we saw the greatness of God, we wouldn't worry so much about our looks. If we saw the greatness of God, we wouldn't spend so much time watching mindless TV and movies. If we saw the greatness of God, we wouldn't get so discouraged with the evil and godlessness of our culture. If we saw the greatness of God, we wouldn't give in so much to our appetites and overeat in boredom and depression. John Piper. Whoa, what do you think about those points? I think some pretty good points, but I'm also thinking, you know, I'm going to overeat. That's what I'm thinking. I think about this past Thanksgiving. I'm like, wow, no matter what the circumstances, man, I'm eating more than I should eat. Is that just me? So this 4-year-old boy is asked to say the blessing before Thanksgiving dinner. The family members bowed their heads in expectation. Daniel leads us in our prayers at home, don't you, Daniel? So this 4-year-old began his prayer thanking God for all his friends, naming them one by one. Then he thanked God for mommy, daddy, brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, all his aunts and uncles. Then he began to thank God for the food. He gave thanks for the turkey, the dressing, the fruit salad, the cranberry sauce, the pies, the cakes, even the Cool Whip. Then he paused. And everybody waited. And they continued to wait. And after a long silence, the little boy looked up at his mother and asked, "If I thank God for the broccoli, won't he know that I'm lying?" So, yes, be thankful for everything. I don't know about that. Be thankful in everything. I think so. Should I share this one? I don't know. I'm tempted to skip it. I'll share it. I shouldn't. I should trust my gut instinct, but I'm not going to do it. So this is a dietitian addressed a large audience in Chicago. She said, "The stuff we put in our stomachs, it's killing us. Red meat is awful. Soft drinks erode the inner lining of your stomach. Haven't you heard that? Chinese food is loaded with MSG. Vegetables can be disastrous. None of us realize the long-term harm caused by the germs in our drinking water. We overeat. We eat like there's no tomorrow, you know, during the holidays on Thanksgiving. However, she says, there's one thing that is the most dangerous of all. The most dangerous thing that we will ever eat. And it causes more pain, the most grief, the most suffering, the most heartache for years and years and years after eating it." And she said, "Does anyone know what this is?" And a 75-year-old man in the front row stood up and said, "Wedding cake." Oh. So even in marriage, are we to be thankful? I think so. So this is what I want to talk about and dig a little bit deeper into the scripture this morning. Because did you know that Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holidays can be the most difficult time of year than any other time of the year? Did you know that? That more people struggle over the holidays as much or more than any other time? And why do you suppose that is? Anybody have a guess? I've read that depression is highest in the winter months than any other time. I've heard, I don't know if it's true, that suicide and suicide attempts are higher during the winter months, the holiday season, than any other time. I've read some research for that, some research against. Holidays can be a time of increased sadness, pressure, and stress. We find ourselves trying to create the Norman Rockwell portrait of a perfect Thanksgiving meal or Christmas day and end up feeling let down, disappointed, and overwhelmed. A survey by the National Women's Health Resource Center states that 2/3 of women report depression during the holidays. And Dr. Kenneth Johnson, a psychiatrist at Columbia St. Mary's, states depression is higher in the winter months in general because the biggest cause of holiday depression is unmet expectations. And I find that many believers struggle with this issue. And, you know, I struggle as well. Karen will tell you the winter months hit, the holidays hit, and discouragement and depression hits me. Why is that? You know, I should probably kind of self-analyze, since I am a professional counselor, and figure out what that's about. But I know we get to even November, and I'm just trying to hang on and make it day to day to get to the holidays, right? To have a little bit of a break in order to kind of rest and relax and recuperate from the year. Whoa, it's really tough time. Is that just me? Maybe I'm the only one that struggles in here. Wow. Huh? We make Thanksgiving, Christmas, these huge events, and pressure ourselves to make these events a super spiritual, picture-perfect memory while stressing over the perfect gift, the perfect dinner, rushing from Christmas programs to parties, from house to house, squeezing in a candlelight service before rushing home to get the last-minute gifts wrapped. But let me tell you this. Psalm 34:1 states, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, on my lips, whether in the pit, in a prison, or in the palace. Whether in a pit, in prison, or in the palace. Who comes to mind? In the pit, in prison, or in the palace. Who said Joseph? All right, there you go. Is that Debbie back there? All right. In the pit, in prison, or in the palace. No matter what the circumstances, in all circumstances, we're to praise God. What's the story of Joseph? You know, it didn't start out in prison. You know what, Daniel? It started out in a pit. If you can believe it, there was 12 brothers in one household. Can you believe it? 12 brothers. Can you believe that? Eventually became the 12 tribes. Isn't that right? Now, Joseph's brothers were so jealous of him. Remember, his dad gave him the coat of many colors. His brothers were so jealous that they took him, threw him down in a pit, and then went and lied to the dad and said an animal came and ripped Joseph to pieces. Here's his coat with bloodstains to prove that. Being thrown down in a pit by your own family members. You ever been betrayed by family members? It hurts. You ever been betrayed by church members? It hurts. Watchman Nee says, Satan's greatest tool is to attack us from within. Isn't that right? So what happens? Joseph trusts God, doesn't he? And what happens? Great things, right? Great things happen. Prison. Huh? Prison? What are your Christian friends and your family members going to say if you're trusting God and you end up in prison? And you're in prison. What are they going to say? More than likely, man, you need to get your act together. You got sin in your life. Remember Job's friends, right? Here's a person trusting God. He ends up in prison. Why? Because he was faithful. That's why. Potiphar's wife accuses him. And as a result, he ends up in prison. And you know how long that time frame was that he was a slave and a prisoner? You know how long that time frame was? 13 years was the time frame. 13 years. But Joseph, he praises God. He trusts God. No matter what the circumstances, pit, prison, or palace, you know, God placed him to be second in command in all of Egypt over everything. As a result, he saves the nation, saves his family as a result. It's an amazing story. Amen. and He forgives. Sometimes I think we struggle. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we can struggle with anger and depression because of resentment and bitterness and the unwillingness to forgive. But Joseph forgave his brothers. He not only forgave them, he said, "Man, don't worry. I'm going to take care of y'all and all of your kids." Let's read those scriptures, because it's absolutely amazing. You know where those scriptures are found, right? In Genesis 50, it's verses 15 through 21. So Joseph's dad dies, right? The brothers, they're concerned, wow, now that dad's gone, you know, Joseph's going to come. He's going to pay us back for all the evil we've done. And we pick up in Genesis 50, and it's verses 15 through 21. We're going to read quite a few scriptures, because the scriptures can always say it much better than I. And you know, God's word never returns void. When we share God's word and we speak that truth, something's going to happen. We don't know what, but some kind of blessing's going to happen. Somebody's life's going to be changed or transformed because we're reading God's word. We're picking up with verse 15 when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead. They said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now, please forgive their sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." That verse 20, we need to repeat it. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Even when people attempt to harm us and do us wrong, God can even use those things to bring about good and even save many lives. So then, Joseph says this, "So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them, to the very ones that threw him in a pit and abandoned him. He's forgiving. He's speaking kindly. He's actually saving their lives and their kids' lives as a result. Joseph was thrown down into a pit by his own brother, sold into slavery. His brother said he was killed 13 years as a slave and prisoner. But Joseph was faithful to God. Joseph trusted God. Joseph praised God in all circumstances. We can be thankful in times of suffering because God is with us. Now I'm going to pause just for a couple of minutes before I share a closing story here. But look, I've been rambling on, and I want to give y'all an opportunity to thank God. How do you want to praise God this morning? If you're thinking about this lesson and you have that praise, that word of praise, right on the tip of your tongue, right on your lips, share that with us this morning. What do you want to say in praise to God this morning? Anybody? Family. Isn't that right? Billy. Look, you fell down some stairs, didn't you? But you're here praising God this morning. Isn't that right? Anybody else? Yeah, let's praise God for employment. Isn't that right? It's tough times. Praise God. Anybody else? Isn't that right? Look, that's Linnell right there. Let's just express our appreciation for Linnell right now. Look. Amazing sense of humor. I do believe if you have a sense of humor, you can make it in life. Isn't that right? It's either laugh or cry. And Linnell, we love you. You're an inspiration to us. We know that you've been through some times of suffering, and here you are praising God. It's not just King David praising God in times of suffering. It's one of our very own class members praising God in times of suffering and through times of suffering. Thank you for sharing that, Linnell. Now, I have a clip. I don't have it with me. We just weren't able to get the... I'm somewhat technologically challenged, but I think technology actually hates me, right? It can be working fine, but if I touch it, something bad is going to happen. It's usually how it works out. I had the video clip for you, but it's a clip I've been watching over and over quite a few times throughout the holiday season of Lauryn Hill. I don't know if you know, Coach, you may have seen that clip of Lauryn Hill. She's a basketball player, in her, she knows what it means to give thanks during tough times. So she was a senior, and then she agreed, I can't remember the team, but I'll share more of the story. Let's see. Wow. I just can't remember the team, but I'll read the report from, okay, it is Mount St. Joseph. So she's a high school senior. She agrees, this is in the state of Ohio, she agrees to play for Mount St. Joseph's basketball team as a senior in high school. 49 days later, she tells the coach and the team that she has an inoperable brain tumor. She only has 2 weeks to live. The coach and the team comes alongside. The whole town comes alongside. And she's up 2 weeks to live. She's up 5 o'clock every morning at practice. Because she doesn't want to let down her team. Because she loves her team. And so on that game, it was her first game, and it's going to be her only game. The coach created what's called Lauryn's Layup. And you can see that video clip on CBS News. And the place is packed out, 10,000 people in that stadium. Lauryn gets the pass. She dribbles down the court. She can't shoot with her dominant hand, right hand, because of the tumor. She shoots with her left hand, makes that layup. The crowd goes wild. She stands after the game. They had given her a crystal trophy because of her courage. And she stands in the middle of that court. It's the most inspirational part of all. And she says, "Thank you," holding that trophy. She says, "This is the happiest day of my life." Is that amazing? Giving thanks in the most difficult of circumstances, even facing death, giving thanks, praising God in all circumstances. Psalm 34:1 is the heart of the message today. Look, we're so thrilled to be here. This is such an incredible blessing and honor to be here and to worship with you guys today. And so we truly want to say thanks. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's see. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And let's pray before we're dismissed. And Lord, we are truly thankful to be here this day to just hear some truths from your word. And Lord, thank you for your word, because your word is your promises. and you will never break your word. All of heaven and earth will pass away, right? But your word will stand. Your promise will stand. If you say it, you mean it, it will happen. And we can entrust our very lives, base our very lives on the truth of your word. And that's why we're here today. That's exactly why we're here. To hear a word from you. We're also here to fellowship. So before we leave and we hug one another and we shake one another's hands and we say, so great to see you. There's something powerful about that because we weren't made to live out the Christian life in our own strength, Lord. We need you and we need one another. Thank God for the McLaughlin Bible class. Thank God for each person that is here today. Thank God for every guest, Lord. We are truly thankful. No matter what our circumstances today, we praise your name. As Lord of Lords, King of Kings, we praise your holy name. And pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Eric?